From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of February 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll take up the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in our program, we'll hear about the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. As we close out the half hour, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And along the way, we'll hear how cotton producers are faring not so well in the United States and get an update of all the agricultural news, including some information out of Washington, D.C. on infrastructure and the Farm Bill. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check what's been happening in the marketplace for the day. This is the way the settlement prices came in from the CME Group. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat was up 7¾ cents this afternoon to settle at $6.68.5. May, $6.79¾, up 5¾. In July at $6.92, 3 cents higher. September futures, $7.09¼, up 3¼. And December contract at $7.26.5, up 3¼ cents. March corn futures, $6.44¼, down a quarter. The May up a half at $6.51¼. July at $6.56¼, up 3/4. And September corn, $6.05¼, up a half. December futures down a quarter at $5.81¼. March at $5.93, down a quarter of a cent. March soybeans, $12.33, up a half. May at $12.42, up 1¼. July, $12.51¾, a penny and a half higher. And the August at $12.49½, up 1½. November beans, $12.39, up 1¾. Bean meal at $3.27.50, down $1.10. Bean oil at $52.16, 51 cents higher on the day. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract in the April at $127.50, a dime higher. June at $127.22½, up 37½. April feeders at $156.55, 47½ cents higher, and lean hogs at $88.55 for the April, down 37½. Back in just a couple of minutes with the agricultural news and information. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Now, here's the way the numbers settled up, or currently trading, rather, when the crude oil futures nearby contract at $97.08 a barrel, down 76 cents. Ethanol at 219¾, that's up 2 cents. Natural gas at 255¼, up a nickel and a half. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 6 cents higher at $3.17¼. And gold futures at $1,722.80 an ounce, down $15.10. The dollar at 79.07 on the delayed trade, 15 cents higher for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service as it comes in for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Partly cloudy. A low of 28 degrees with a wind out of the west at 3 to 8 miles an hour tonight. A slight chance of rain. Some snow before noon. That's tomorrow. A slight chance of rain as well. Cloudy, a high near 39 degrees. North-northwest winds at 3 to 11. That'll gust all the way to 16 miles an hour. A chance of precipitation tomorrow is 20%. On Wednesday, we should see scattered flurries before noon. Mostly cloudy, a high of 33. Thursday, sunny skies and 39. Friday, mostly sunny and 32. And Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 30 degrees. Sunday should show us sunny skies and a high of 37 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Hi. Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Time to check in on what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures. Kurt Kimmel out of the office this afternoon, but in his stead at Bates Commodities, we're going to talk with Pete. And Pete, tell me about what's been happening in the world of the markets there.
Well, we were mixed all day long. We opened lower, went higher, went lower, went higher. European Greece helped push it and pull it. South American forecasts of better weather helped push it. USDA forecasts of what they're going to come out with Thursday pushed it. And short covering on wheat was the big thing, pushing wheat higher. We had beans at one time up 8 to 9, but they couldn't hold it. And we had corn up 3 to 4 after being down 4 to 5. So just back and forth waiting for the Thursday report and looking to see what we actually do have for numbers out of South America from USDA.
So we'll be looking for South America, and we'll be looking forward to the ending stocks as well. The average trade guess is now at for corn at 791 million bushels by the time we get to the end of the year. USDA's January estimate at 846. Are you in agreement with the trade at the moment that that number will drop substantially?
I think it will drop in the corn somewhat. I think the corn is the one that's tight supplied. I don't know what they'll do with the bean numbers. You know, beans could be down 10 million metric tons in South America. What's corn going to be? And those are the numbers no one knows. We do expect them to raise the exports a little bit on corn.
And anything in the beans on those ending stock number? The average trade guess at 273. USDA's January estimate at 275 million bushels.
Yeah, I think that's going to be about where it looks at. I think they might actually take some of the exports away. We're still lagging very much behind on the bean exports. The only thing is, how bad are they going to cut South American stocks, yields, and will that help us export any more here?
Have you talked to customers enough to understand what they think about the cash grain market and the overs that have been paid since the fall and their view of whether that will continue or not?
I think the view is that if we're having overages, you know, paying a very good basis, that means they need it, meaning that it's not as much there as expected. And that's kind of the idea out in the country, that there's not as much out there as expected, and that's why the basis levels are so good in lots of places.
Anything else we had to talk about before I let you go for the day?
Just that those numbers, plus the Greek thing, will push and shove us the rest of the week.
All right. Thanks so much, Pete. That's Pete Manhart. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. You can always catch up with us at willag.org if you happen to miss us on the radio. You can find us there anytime you'd like in its entirety. The programs will be posted not long after they air on our radio station. Speaking of willag.org, it's one of the places you can find out what's happening at our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. That one is scheduled for the 6th day of March. That's the first Tuesday of the month. I checked not too long ago, and there are about 40 of those available yet, tickets, that is, for pre-registration. Can't promise that if you walk in that morning, we'll have tickets available. So if you'd like to come, it is $25. We'll have all of our analysts there and a few extras to talk about the marketplace. The all-day Ag Outlook at the Beef House. It is a magnificent show. If you haven't called in yet to get your ticket, you ought to do that right now. And you can do that at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. Just tell them that you'd like to pre-register for the all-day Ag Outlook.
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
In in today's agricultural news. The infrastructure bill is continuing to move a bit forward. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee has marked up the American Energy and Infrastructure Jobs Act of 2012. American Soybean Association President Steve Wellman says the proposal includes the renewal of an agricultural harvest time exemption from the hours of service rules that limit the number of hours truck drivers may operate, as well as the inclusion of provisions enabling states to allow increased truck weight limits if an additional axle is used. Wellman points out that ASA is also particularly encouraged that the proposed bill includes support for the Realize America's Maritime Promise Act, which should ensure sufficient funding for dredging of inland waterways and port maintenance activities. He says the reauthorization is certainly overdue and that the soybean industry stands to gain much from a new, comprehensive transportation solution. Let's stay in Washington, D.C., but switch to the estate tax. Kent Baucus, National Cattlemen's Beef Association Associate Director of Legislative Affairs, thinks 2012 could be the year when the estate tax is eliminated. Baucus, addressing attendees of the 2012 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show in Nashville, Tennessee, says the estate tax is top of the mind for many cattlemen, especially young farmers and ranchers hoping to take over family-owned cattle operations. He says it's not just an estate tax on the wealthy elite. The wealthy are more likely to find a way to weather the storm, he thinks. Small business owners and family farmers, on the other hand, ranchers too, might be forced to make more difficult decisions as the global population continues to grow. He says it's paramount that farmers and ranchers stay, well, on the farms and the ranches. There are 29 pieces of legislation in the U.S. Congress right now to address the estate tax. Baucus says NCBA supports the Death Tax Repeal Permanency Act of 2011. It was introduced by Representative Kevin Brady of Texas. The legislation, if passed, would repeal the estate and generation-skipping transfer taxes. Baucus says the legislation has already garnered 194 bipartisan co-sponsors. The estate tax is just one of many items farmers have on their legislative agenda in Washington, D.C. The other is, of course, the Farm Bill, which should be renegotiated for this year. Joint meetings were held last week for producer leaders of a dozen commodity organizations to discuss policy priorities, hear perspectives of key policymakers, and to work towards consensus on the future of U.S. farm policy. The groups confirmed in the meeting that they are committed to working together to come up with a viable policy. In a joint statement, the organization says it is its common belief that Congress should pass and the president should sign a strong new farm bill into law this year. The law, of course, expires at the end of the year, and producers are worried that they won't know what path Washington has in mind for them by the time we get to 2013. It is, however, clear the organizations believe direct payments to farmers will disappear. And finally today, the 2012 version of the Commodity Classic takes place March the 1st through the 3rd in Nashville, Tennessee. Jeff Sollers is an Ohio farmer that sits on the American Soybean Association Board of Directors and serves as co-chair of the Classic. The ASA, National Corn Growers Association, National Association of Wheat Growers, and the National Soybean Producers all come together to host this one large event each and every year.
It offers a wide range of learning and networking opportunities for growers in the areas of production, policy, marketing, management, and stewardship, as well as showcasing some of the latest equipment, technology, and innovation.
All four organizations use the Classic to conduct their annual business meetings. Sollers notes each group will set their policies for 2012. He says the organizers are very happy with the early registration numbers for this year's event. Registration, of course, still being accepted for the 2012 Commodity Classic. You can find out more on their website at commodityclassic.com. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Listening to the Closing Market Report from willag.org. That's willag.org, a production of Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world. Up next, you know, the most volatile 12-month period ever for cotton futures has created some challenges, and that may take a few years to overcome. Stuart Doan of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting reports.
New York cotton futures more than doubled to over $2 a pound and then fell back to under a dollar, leaving the natural fiber more vulnerable than ever to competition from synthetic threads, according to Barry Worsham, president of Cotton Incorporated.
The markets have been spooked by the volatility, and cotton, instead of being 120 million bales of demand, is somewhere closer to 110. So that's the key for cotton is going to be, we have the ability around the world to easily produce 120 million bales of cotton. If we're using less than that, that means the world is adding to inventories, and that's a downward pressure on price.
Worsham said CI's advertising campaign to rebuild demand for cotton at home and abroad will make greater use of new media in the coming year.
We've got to maintain our market share here in the U.S. Prices caused perhaps maybe a slippage of about 2 percentage points in market share, which has cost the global demand of about 600,000 bales, and it's even worse when you look outside the U.S. So we have some new ads coming up this year. We've traditionally done television. We've been leveraging that with the Internet and social media.
Cotton Incorporated is funded by U.S. cotton growers through per-bale assessments on producers and importers. Stuart Doan, Tunica, Mississippi.
Our thanks to Stuart Doan and NAFB. One extra note on that story. Cotton Incorporated President Barry Worsham says his organization gets more questions about the sustainability of U.S. cotton production than any other cotton topic, other than, of course, market prices.
We were asked recently by a major brand in Europe to do an analysis of the impacts of water, irrigation in the U.S., India, China, and Egypt. And people, brands and retailers that normally are not looking this far down the supply chain are asking those kind of questions today. And this is just one example of many that we are having to address, and I think is going to be a real challenge for not only cotton but other agricultural products as well as we go forward.
Cotton Incorporated, according to Worsham, will be testing some computer software this year in Louisiana and Texas that should help growers measure the carbon footprint of their operations.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Usually on Fridays, we talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. He decided he ought to join us on a Monday, too, just for this one time. So I thought we'd give him a call and see what's been happening in his office and how things went today. Greece was a major factor, apparently, in the marketplace. Mike, thanks for so much for taking time with us. Can you give us more insight on what's been happening there?
Well, the big thing with Greece is that we're just, frankly, running out of time, Todd, and it was really interesting because the last word that I've gotten from across the pond is that we're looking at France now wanting Greece to set up their own fund to bail out their own deficit. And I sit here and I think to myself, with their 10-year bond yields running at about 30% the last time I looked at it, how in the world can they come in and go ahead and do this? And I think it goes back to something I spoke with a client about earlier this morning, and something that I'm starting to write more and more about, is that I think the financial markets, especially since U.S. equities have been able to rally to three-year highs on some of the improving U.S. economic fundamentals, I think U.S. equities and equities worldwide are starting to feel as though and have priced in, because of the loftiness that we're at right now, that Greece is too big to fail. And I don't think the financial markets are ready for a default. And I think that's something that grain producers and market people in agriculture need to realize as well. And maybe it's not right, but to be ready for that possibility, I think, is very, very appropriate. Because if that does happen to be the case and Greece is not ready, Greece does default and the financial markets are not ready for a switch around in the currency markets, I think that's where one of those supply-side disruptions we could have in terms of the currencies causing a big break in the global trade, and that link between the euro currency, the euro debt, the euro crisis, and China are very, very key. And in fact, the International Monetary Fund has been writing more and more about that. The World Bank is trying to alert the global financial markets about that. And I think this latest news about the debt talks being stalled out again really needs us needs for us to put that up at the top of our list as far as priorities.
So if we put it up at the top of the list for priorities, what does that mean as you talk to your producers? How do you protect against it?
Well, I think it goes back to when I go to the panel meetings that we've been doing with you, and when I go out and do marketing presentations for whoever, I try and throw out the idea to diversify and look at profitability. And, you know, Errol Mall at Farm Credit last week and Muhammad asked me the question, you had said that it was more profitable to lock in beans and not profitable to lock in corn right now. And I said, you know what, Errol, you have a good point. I shouldn't have said not profitable. I don't think it is as profitable to lock in corn right now because of cost of production, but also, Todd, because I think that if there is a link between the European crisis worsening and China and Brazil and their currencies falling and the dollar becoming once again a safe haven, I think that's going to hurt Brazil, and it's going to hurt the bean market, and it's going to hurt China, and it's going to hurt the bean market. In other words, it comes back to the soy complex more than it does the feed grain complex, in my opinion. I think we talked about the idea that China was going to be coming in and importing corn earlier this year. Well, that thought's kind of left most of the traders' mindsets at this point, so we probably don't have any premium factored in on that. But with the soybean complex, we need China. We need to get those numbers, and China's numbers for January were not that good, 4.9 million tons of bean imports. Trade was expecting almost 5.3 million. That 4.9 million was down 10% from December, 5% lower than January 2011. So the bottom line answer for your question is hedge and diversify, protect your profit with getting beans sold, especially if we don't get a bullish report to feed the bull here on Thursday. Hedge the beans and maybe leave the corn open, and that maybe will protect you a little bit.
Mike, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us on this Monday afternoon. He'll be out of the office next Friday, so we won't talk with him at that point. Kirk Kimmel will be with us. On the phone line from the Andersons to take up the cash grain market is Lisa Jones. Hi, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd. How about yourself?
No, I'm good, too. So you heard Mike Zuzulo there say the producers might want to consider doing something with their new crop soybeans and forward sales. I suspect that that's really not been the case in your office. Have they done anything?
I think, you know, the end of last week with the rally that we saw, guys really started to get interested with it. I think the 580 on, at least from a corn perspective, was where guys were really interested. I mean, that makes 550 cash corn into champagne in the fall. And for guys that haven't done anything, there's really no better place to start.
Right. Did they do anything with beans, though?
Beans would be a lighter note. I think everybody at this point is holding out for 13, just, you know, hoping that this South American weather market will continue. But the weather that they're having now seems fairly decent, so I just don't know that we'll see that happen in the short run.
Back to the corn market. The overs being paid really did entice quite a bit of grain to come in, I think. Is that flow started to stop now, or is it continuing?
It still continues for us here in Champaign. I mean, I think the bigger movement for us was the free DP that, you know, the co-ops kind of started offering, and then the elevators followed. I mean, you're seeing a lot of landlords put corn and beans on the free DP rather than pricing it out. But we all just have to remember that at a 12 over number where you can get 650 cash corn, you know, eventually that could stop. So
indeed it can. Hey, what are your numbers for the day?
We are cash corn 656, fall beans 551, fall corn cash beans are 1223, and fall beans are 1209.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks, Todd.
Lisa Jones is with the Andersons. She's right here in Champaign County and joins us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. For some of you, for the rest of you, we'll say goodbye. We'll talk about the weather when I return.
It's National Frozen Yogurt Day. It's also St. Dorothy's Day, patron of brewers, gardeners, and florists. On this day in agricultural history in 1617, Prospero Alpini died. An Italian physician and botanist, he is said to have introduced coffee and bananas to Europe and to have been the first to artificially fertilize date palms. In 1864, Frederick Tudor died, an American businessman who, long before the availability of electric refrigerators, created an export trade in block ice, harvested from frozen fresh water ponds in New England during winter, and ship to India, Europe, and the Caribbean in insulated cargo holds and stored in insulated warehouses. In 1685, Charles II, King of England, died. Tea was introduced to England during his reign. As a way of trying to make tea popular, King Charles issued a proclamation suppressing coffee houses in December of 1675. The public response was so negative that he had to revoke it the following month. And in 1796, John Stevens Henslow was born, a British clergyman and botanist. He was a mentor of Charles Darwin. To help get farmers to apply scientific methods, he gave lectures on the fermentation of manure. He also showed Irish farmers how to get starch from rotten potatoes during the potato famine of 1845 and 1846. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to talk about the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And for the life of me, I don't remember whether Mark Russo or Josh Starr picked up the
phone. Hey, Todd, it's Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. You know what? Sometimes you just have
one
of those.
We're all meteorologists here.
Yeah, there you go. I just sometimes you have one of those days, and this has been one of them. So that's the way it goes. Okay, Mark. So when I came across campus this afternoon, I walked out the door, and you know what? It felt kind of cold, and it really isn't all that cold.
Yeah, it's all kind of relative here. We're going through one of the warmest winters of all time across the central and eastern U.S., at least dating back over the past 60 years. And certainly, even with this kind of chill in the air right now, overcast skies, temperatures 40s and kind of 30s across sections of the Midwest, gosh, it feels pretty chilly. And from a pattern standpoint here coming up, we're actually going to see some Arctic air here move into the middle and eastern portion of the country here coming up, especially during the latter part of this week. So if you're feeling cold now, you just wait a few days and it's going to feel even colder here. And again, nothing extreme coming down the pipeline, nothing like what you're seeing across portions of Europe and Russia and over in northern China, but certainly a big change from the just highly anomalous warmth that we felt throughout much of this winter.
Yeah, how cold have they been, and what really happens when you've got that much of a pool of cold air? Can it drop back across the top of the world and drop in on us?
It certainly can. We don't see that happening in a significant way, though, over the next couple of weeks, at least here in North America. And what's actually causing a lot of the severe cold is this blocking high-pressure area across northwestern Russia, and that's just helping expanding the cold across all of the Eurasian continent. And at least that type of setup we don't see on our side of the hemisphere, at least over the next 10 to 12 days.
Tell me about let's move from the western and the eastern to the southern hemisphere and talk about South American crops, please.
Yeah, someplace much more warmer these days. And certainly they've stabilized across much of Argentina here with this unsettled pattern over the past week, and they're going to remain unsettled here throughout the middle part of this week. Southern Brazil, though, has only fared a little bit better here as that area has missed out at times here with some of this unsettled weather. But they look to get a good shot in the arm here this week as the zone of instability in Argentina expands northward to include southern Brazil. So certainly kind of what's done is done here, at least with the extreme heat and dryness that was in place back in December and early January in South America.
Hey, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday afternoon for the Closing Market Report. We'll say goodbye now. Thank you for being with us for the day. You can always hear it again if you'd like at our website. The address is WILLAG.org. There you can read all the details of the All-Day Ag Outlook, scheduled for the 6th day of March. That's the first Tuesday of the month over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Just about 40 tickets left for that one. If you'd like to pre-register, call this number right now, 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. Have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.